Hello all and welcome to episode 87 of the Green Arrow, an FPL podcast by fantasyfootballhub.co.uk as Ralph Rangnick hoodwinks the FPL community with brazen lies of Ronaldo's availability while Bruno Fernandes turns it on to sucker punch all the fools, including the three of us who all brought in Ronaldo, two of us for a hit. What a game week. My name is Fergie and I'm joined as usual by two FPL legends. Firstly, Adam Hopcroft with a brand new shirt on. Adam, what colour was your arrow in double game week 22?
Oh, it was a red arrow. So just like the planes, unfortunately. Very disappointed. But I think it was downhill from the point of the Ronaldo no-show. Shall I quickly run through my team?
Yes, do, please.
Do you know what? I've got it ready in front of me. You're prepared. Took the feedback last week.
You are. And you're incredibly loud as well, which is brilliant. Are you just able to move the mic slightly away from your mouth because you're absolutely deafening me, only a touch away.
Is that better?
Yes. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, all there?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, so almost as loud as Villa Park was on Saturday.
Oh, mate, I mean, it was absolutely bouncing. What a couple of games we just had.
When we equalised.
I don't know if you noticed, I'm a little bit hoarse. And I'm a little bit hoarse after Steven Bergwijn's performance last night.
It was how good was that?
Anyway, I don't want to spoil your moment. You go ahead, mate. Sorry.
Yeah, so just going through last week. So I had De Gea in goal. Did what probably I expected him to. I think he got 8 points. Fairly happy with that. And I had good returns from, like most, from Trent and Cancelo. Mm. And I got a nice three-pointer, good for nothing, from Rudiger.
What's happened to Chelsea? Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I had my midfield. I had Jota, who missed a string of chances. But I think most people owned him, so no real issue there. Bowen got 7. Possibly a bit unlucky not to get more, but he's looking sharp as ever. And then I transferred in Madison and Mount because I needed to take two hits realistically to bring Ronaldo in. And I'll go on to that in 1 second. Madison scored, did well. Mount didn't really do anything. So a bit disappointed with that, but he'll get one more go this week. And then up top, I've got King, who was quite lively, I thought, from the highlights. Yeah. He did okay, and he's got a good fixture this week. Antonio and Ronaldo, who is very, very disappointing. Bit disappointed about that. I could have bought Bruno in last week, and I know a lot of people considered it. I genuinely didn't consider it, and the reason I didn't is prior to this game week, I think he played 16 times with Ronaldo on the pitch and got 2 goals and 3 assists. Now, if I would have known or had a high probability that Ronaldo wouldn't have been involved at all and wouldn't have been in the squad for Villa, I may have gone for it. But yeah, we all got, like you said, we got hoodwinked by Ralph and
swine.
Yeah, but I think, you know, fair play to anybody that captained Bruno. It was an absolutely brilliant and brave move.
It was.
And it's really, really paid off. I mean, 46 points was it for a captaincy. So then that's an incredible move.
Well, and with Ronaldo getting 4, it's a massive swing, isn't it? If someone else had done okay and got double figures, it would have been something. But it's just such the difference between those two captains that's massive.
I just didn't see it, because for me, and you could say there might have been glimpses in some of Bruno's performances, but he played Villa the week before. I didn't think he looked that great, if I'm being honest.
Not from
an FPL perspective.
He scored 1 goal in his previous 22 appearances. Insane.
But it was
a gamble, but it paid off for gamblers, I think. I think they gambled on the fact that Ronaldo wouldn't play. They'd revert maybe a bit, you know, back to the formation they've played a bit more over the last couple of seasons, in which case he was obviously a fantastic pick. And that's what happened, I think. Is my kind of view on it.
The reality is the three of the 4 goals he was involved with come with when Ronaldo wasn't on the pitch.
Yeah.
which, like we said, if we knew that Ronaldo wouldn't have much pitch time, exactly, it would have been a more of a viable option. But I mean, fair play to people that went for it. Who's next up? Are we over to Rich? Are we over to, or yourself?
We're over to Rich Clark. Absolutely great to have you on as usual, Rich. What colour was your arrow in Double Game Week 22?
I'm afraid it was also a red one. I think given the fact that I didn't really look at Bruno either, only dropping about 5,000 places was a bit of a result, really, considering the swing and the hype around the Bruno points that we've talked about already. So I'm fairly happy with the rank damage as a result of the move. I suppose what was also really disappointing for me, I think, was I was sitting on a, I think with about 5 minutes to go, sitting on a David De Gea 15 pointer. And that fairly meaningless Ivan Toney goal went in after about 85 minutes. And the difference that make, I think it's cost 7 points because De Gea was on for 3 bonus points at that stage and a clean sheet and so on. And that was a big kick in the teeth because obviously not owning Bruno either, it was just losses all round, you know, from a sort of local mini league perspective.
United.
That was really painful.
United poor at the back, aren't they, United? I mean, yeah. you know, they keep a very, very odd clean sheet. But they every time a team has an attack, United just do something like where you go, what are they doing? Even Maguire yesterday had, like, you know, he's barely on the pitch, but he headed out. And instead of heading out clearing it, he headed out to someone on the edge of the box and nearly had a shot off that. And it's just they don't seem to know how to defend, which is very strange for, like, you know, I don't know what you call them nowadays, like a top six or top eight kind of Premier League team, but they don't look secure at all anytime anyone attacks them. It's bizarre.
No.
There's a couple of things on that, actually, is that both of Villa's goals, and I haven't seen the Brentford goal, but both of Villa's goals were carved out in open play. They weren't necessarily counter-attacks. We broke them down, and it was with relative ease as well. So I completely agree with you on that. Rich, on that point, I deliberately have stopped checking the in-play rank things for the exact reason. So I didn't have that same pain as you with the hair.
No, it doesn't. But it doesn't help if you're looking at that and you can see the impact that it has. It's a real throw the phone at the sofa job. You know?
It's very, for me, it's like the bullseye effect, that is, you know, like, look what he could have won. So
I stay
away from that. I don't want to, you know, don't want a speedboat. I don't want to know I've won a speedboat.
So. I certainly stayed off Twitter overnight, that was for sure. Yeah. I didn't look at that after a while. But yeah, I made a disappointing transfer. I bought Mountain. I think we were discussing it, you know, just before the deadline. And I went for Mount as well and, you know, got nothing and didn't even start the City game, which surprised me a little bit. And now I'm, you know, stuck with Marcus Alonso and, you know, really, really want to accelerate his departure.
Yes,
you know, Chelsea's defense looks worse than United's at the moment. You know, I think I've got a lot of problems in my team as we'll see later on that need dealing with, and I'd certainly rather have Adams in there when we get onto that section.
Well, your team is in bad nick then.
I love the irony, Adam, of you saying about winning a speedboat when you live in Birmingham. That was the old crack and we're bullseye when it was you've won a speedboat, but I live in Birmingham. What good is that to me? Very quickly onto my team, 57 minus 4, same disaster as everyone else. Took a punt on Trossard, and to be fair, you know, I think I said last week that's really all it was. You know, it was one of these kind of just a 1 week, maybe a 2 week pen. They are away to Leicester this week, which I think actually could be a decent fixture for him. So, you know, I didn't get much from him. Damari Gray as well was the kind of other one I had, you know, a little bit of a differential, not much cop, and I, you know, had a red arrow. As someone in the chat, Super Duper in the chat, just said, the Red Arrow podcast, red arrows all round this week, gents, not the best at all. Just a quick update on FPL SWAT's team. So FPL SWAT is a team who had a minus 180 via the hack earlier in the season. He did have a red arrow this week. He's gone from 659k to 706k, but still, after being, you know, minus 180 points down, that is still bloody impressive. Billy Anderson just quickly says, as a Brummie, Adam, what are your thoughts on Peaky Blinders?
Oh, I love Peaky Blinders, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Although it's based near the Birmingham City Ground, but I suppose, you know, based on how rough it is, you know, you can't be too surprised with that. So,
for any new watchers and listeners, you are very, very welcome. If you haven't subscribed just yet, please make sure you press the subscribe button in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen and set the alerts so you don't miss our live streams. It's usually at 7 p.m. every Tuesday. However, we are having to be a bit fluid with all the double gamings at the moment. Also, if you haven't pressed the like button and you do enjoy our content, please press like. It would be much, much appreciated. We are live, so please feel free to join the chat at any time. Let us know your thoughts on the topics and feel free to ask some questions throughout. We did see something, didn't we, right at the start, which is absolutely brilliant. Todd first said, Fergie's going to love this. I decided to free hit when Son was injured. His free hit scored 67 points. He would have had 80 minus 4 if he'd have just made his planned transfers of Lamptey to Bruno. So I'm going to give you a little violin there, Todd. Yeah, very, very unlucky. Yeah. There it is. We haven't seen it for a while, have we? And Noki says, I foresee some tragic violin orchestra coming out for Fergie's game week score. Not the best. First red in a while. But Patrick Yerby asks, would you prefer to watch the Green Arrow again or divorce your wife? I know my answer. I hope your wife, Patrick, isn't watching Green Arrow. And, you know, we all know what we really think inside here, which is all that matters in it, everyone. So, but good evening to Luke Fuller, Joe Robinson, FPL Gazza, James Beacock, William Malusi, Nuisance BS, James Osborne, asks about an early second wild card. We will be touching on that in a little bit. Neil Cheeseman, George Floyd, Ross Johnson, Karen Sharma. Yes, Fergie, those are the words. I think he's talking about the Man United, Bruno, Ronaldo debacle for those who didn't go Bruno. If you did go Bruno, absolutely fantastic and well done. So this week, we're going to take a bit of a deep dive into Aston Villa with our very own season ticket holder, Adam Hopcroft, before reassessing our chip strategies and best player picks for the coming weeks. We will answer a few Twitter questions before taking a look at the best captaincy options for Game Week 23. We'll hold our weekly YouTube competition and finally take a look at the top of the @FFH_GreenArrowMiniLeague. Don't forget, all the data we show and much, much more is available for you to use yourself at fantasyfootballhub.co.uk. You can join using the top link below for a 7-day free trial. First, a little bit of housekeeping. Firstly, if you haven't seen Adam, he is wearing his Aston Villa kit with Coutinho on the back. Rich, as you can hopefully all tell, has got his own bit of kit, as he so cleverly put earlier. We've mic'd Rich up. It makes such a difference, Rich. And as I said earlier, I'm a little bit hoarse because I watched the Spurs game with my son last night. And, you know, it's moments like that. You don't even think about it at the time. But I'll remember that forever because it's just one of those.
It's great, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Have you ever? I think there was 12 seconds left when they equalised. Yeah. And they won, and it's the manner of it, and it's the way they dive into the crowd. Well, me and my son, he kind of jumped towards the telly, and I jumped up, and we were absolutely screaming, and we were on the floor. We were just like, what the hell is going on? And
I've seen Tottenham lose a few like that, but I haven't seen them win many like that.
Well, I remember Lanzini. Remember Lanzini last year when he equalised for the 3-0? That was kind of a similar-ish moment against Spurs. But yeah, the closest has come, obviously, when Moura scored the hat-trick against Ajax in the Champions League semi-final. That was special. But those two last-minute goals, I mean, it was even more dramatic, obviously not in terms of context, but Aguero's win the league moment in 2012, because that was two goals in injury time, but this was two goals basically when the game had already finished. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, it was the latest ever comeback win.
It was apparently. Was it? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Let's get on with it. And firstly, we have the fixture ticker up first the next 6 weeks, which show Aston Villa, top of the shop for the next 6 weeks. And they could have potentially have a double game week coming up, either in this game week or next game week. But they are away to Everton, home to Leeds, away to Newcastle, home to Watford. They don't get much better than that. Away to Brighton, home to Southampton. So Villa's next 6 games are absolutely fantastic, followed by Man City and Newcastle. But we are going to spend a bit of time at the moment focusing on Aston Villa with our resident expert, Adam Hopcroft. So what we've got now on screen. So Steven Gerrard joined the villains from game week 12 onwards. So we've got the Hub's expected points per appearance since Steven Gerrard started. It shows Coutinho, actually, obviously, because per appearance, expected points of 5.1, well, which is pretty impressive. Watkins behind 4.39, Ramsey 3.91, Buendia 3.6. Adam, I suppose we would love you to give us the lowdown on on Aston Villa, and who should we be looking at over the next few weeks?
Okay, well, I'll start with, so you've got, have you got on screen the lineup that I think will be our strongest lineup?
I have now, yeah.
Brilliant. So I think, because I've had loads of questions, who's nailed, what do you think the team will be? So I thought it's probably best to start with what I think, based on the players who are fit, is going to be our strongest lineup. So I think it's no surprise Martinez will be in goal and Mings and Konsa will be centre-backs. Konsa's a slight doubt for the weekend, so Courtney House will come in if he doesn't make it. Full-backs will be Cash and Luca Dean. Is Luca Dean nailed? I would say yes, without a doubt. And having watched him the weekend, he brings so much from an attacking perspective to the team that Target just couldn't bring. He didn't have the ability. He's not got the nous in the final third. His delivery is nowhere near compared to Luca Dean. So it's a massive, massive, massive upgrade for Villa in that area, and it makes us stronger. Yep. He's obviously got the set piece threat as well. He took some of the in-swinging corners the weekend and nearly assisted Buendia. Cash, I think, is nailed, but there is an outside chance. We've got a youngster called Hayden Kessler, and he played, for those that you haven't seen him, he was part of the FA Youth Cup winning team, and he's been on loan at Swindon, and he played versus Man City in the FA Cup, and he was a brilliant performance. And I think partly because of that and how he's been doing, he's been recalled, so he's impressing in training. So that, I think, Cash has done well. End product is a bit, particularly his final delivery has gone missing. So it's possible that we could see Hayden have some minutes towards the end of the season. But I'd say Cash and Dean are nailed for the time being. Our midfield trio of Louise, Ramsey and McGinn, I think, is nailed. I think Sanson did okay the weekend before his mistake, but I think that's the midfield three we will see. And I think it will give McGinn and particularly Ramsey license to go box to box, which, I think they'll make runs beyond the likes of Coutinho and Buendia.
Is just asking, yeah. Is Ramsey at 4.6? Is he a bit too good to be true, or, as in terms of like a fifth mid or even a fourth mid? If he's starting every game with these fixtures, is he, because I've, because he looks a pretty obvious pick from a budget perspective. Mm. Is he a bit too good to be true, or do you think he is a genuine option we should really be looking at?
I think he's a bit of a problem, actually, because we've got a lot. I think how the setup is at the moment is geared towards playing five midfielders. If you look at the options available, the Fodens, Madisons, Rafinhas, Jotters, etc., Bowens, it's geared to playing five midfielders. And I think those players just mentioned, you could probably throw Coutinho in the mix there, are going to have more output and you're going to be more confident starting them each week. Where he could be good is to support a bench boost at some point, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he's a great squad player. But I think starting 11, there's more attacking options, because I don't think we need the two premiums at the moment. So I think he's an incredible player. I think he's a good option, but there will be players like your Madisons, Rafinhas, Bowens, etc. are probably worth paying the extra for. That's what I would say as a summary.
But in terms of nailedness, because I'm looking at him as well, Fergie, because he's such a low price that even coming off, say, Smith Rowe for me, he gets that extra million that I need to get Salah. Yeah. So I'm really looking at him in the short term. Certainly if they get a double this week, I'll be probably almost certain to bring Ramsey in. But I would want to know he was going to play most games. So it's really critical, I think.
He will play most games.
Yeah.
There's a slight risk, because given his age, if we had a double game week, he may see reduced minutes because Gerrard might want to protect him. And we've got another player who came on and I thought did well the weekend in Carney Chukwuemeka as well.
Yeah, he's a good player, isn't he?
And he's a real physical presence. And I think he's a year or two behind Ramsey in his development. Because Ramsey came in last season, he didn't really do much and he struggled a bit, but physically he's progressed massively this season and you can see it. So I think he's going to play if he's fit, and barring injuries or fatigue, I think he'll play the majority of games.
Who would be the alternative if he was to be rested? Who would he be?
It would be either Morgan Sanson or Carney Chukwuemeka, and they may want to give Carney Chukwuemeka minutes because there's a contract issue at the moment that he's not signed, and part of the reason is he's not had the first team football. So it is possible, and he's very talented as well. So it's possible Gerrard might give him some more minutes. But if you're asking me, is Ramsey a great option at that price? There isn't a better player, probably sub five. I mean, maybe Martinelli sub 5.5 million, but I can't make a. He's a great option, and he'll make those runs into the box as well, which are very, very difficult to pick up. He's got that driving ability of going into the box. If you look at the goals he scored this season, he's got a bit of quality as well. I mean, his finishes have been exceptional. You've then got Gerrard ideally likes to play two, rather than wingers, more sort of wide number 10s. And I think this is where, for me, the reason he signed Coutinho is his favourite position. He's sort of inverted off the left, number 10. Buendia's is off the right, so they complement each other so well. And I think they will... There's a big reason I think that ideally he wants both of them to start rather than Ings and Watkins. And then I think Watkins is far superior to Ings. So there's a couple of points I'm just going to go through off the back of this, if that's okay. I think, firstly, Ings and Watkins, why not play both? Well, a couple of stats for you to start with. Since Gerrard's come in, Villa have scored 12 goals. Only two have come when Ings and Watkins have been on the pitch, which I think it says it all. We were terrible first half against United. And I think the game really changed when he brought on Carney and Coutinho, and he changed formation and pushed Watkins centrally. Watkins' work rate and involvement, forget the goal side of things. I mean, he's got double the XG and shots in the box over Ings this season. He's only played 300 minutes more, so four games more, but he's doubling those areas. But his involvement from a pressing, from a winning aerial duels, from winning duels, he's just a different beast to Ings, and he gets more involved in the play. And I've seen the link-up play between Buendia and Watkins. I've seen more of that than I have with Ings. Watkins dropping short, getting involved, causing problems, stretching the defence. I just cannot see him starting Ings over Watkins unless there is a potential risk to maybe Watkins leaving and going elsewhere and having his head turned. But I don't see that. So I think Watkins will play ahead of Ings. And, does Coutinho come in straight away? This is the only reason why Ings may keep his place, is Coutinho has, since the start of last season, in fact, he's only played 9 times more than 70 minutes over the last 2 seasons. He's only played once over 60 minutes this season. So has he got the match fitness? Probably not. He hasn't played 90 minutes since the 24th of October 2020. So there could be some concern with Coutinho's match fitness. I think to go up to that level, it's going to take a while. But I think our best team has Coutinho and Buendia in it. Now, Buendia, I just finally want to touch and you know, to give you guys a chance to speak. But Buendia, for me, is Villa's most important player at the moment. He is so good. I mean, he was incredible the weekend. I can't tell you, you know, I was sitting on the half, pretty much on the halfway line, watching him live, that performance, it, particularly from maybe 30 minutes in, he dominated the match. He had the ball. You know, he had more touches than the only Villa player who had more touches, and you'll know this from playing Sky because you sort of see what defenders tend to have more touches, was Tyrone Mings for Villa. But he was, and he was, bear in mind, he was playing in the front line. He was getting in between the midfield and dropping off, obviously, the forwards and just picking it up in the spaces. And I think he'll want to do exactly the same with Coutinho on the other side. Gerrard wants to dominate possession. It's a big thing. So a couple of interesting stats for you. When Gerrard came in, his first three matches, we had 37% possession, 37% possession and 36% possession. So we struggled. He wanted to shore up the defence. That was reflected in the XG conceded as well. We were very tight. As he's had more time to work with the team, he's had a chance to work with the patterns of play a bit more. And the last two matches we've had in the league, we've had 55% possession. And against United the weekend, we had 55% possession. Right. But I read somewhere that we had 454 successful passes, which is definitely our most this season in the league. And Gerrard is working on that. And I think what you can expect to see from Villa, and I think this is why it could be good for both defence and attack, is a team that will keep the ball and retain the ball well. And if you look at that midfield, and particularly with the likes of Coutinho and Buendia in there, we've got some very, very good technical footballers. We will retain the ball. Watkins is very good at holding up the ball as well. So I can see Villa being very, and they will have the whip from Cash and Luca Dean. So I can see us being very, very good in possession. I can see us dominating the majority. Bear in mind the fixtures we've got left. I think we'll dominate possession in the majority of games, which will mean that hopefully it'll take the pressure off us defensively, because we have made mistakes recently. And I expect us to be able to create a lot of good quality chances in the in open play. If you look at the football we played against United, and the XG in the last two or three matches has shot up close to two. So we're doing a lot of good things. And so that's sort of a bit of a summary of where we're at and how we've maybe progressed under Gerrard. Yeah,
really useful. So, Adam, just a question. Do you mind if I go first, Fergie?
Yeah, go for it.
Lots of great options there and brilliant insight on all of them. So this question is obviously team dependent in terms of where you need to go. But from an FPL perspective, if you're going shopping, where are you going to go first?
First is team dependent. I think you target your weakness and you've mentioned that. But the one I'm most confident on, bearing, is Luca Dean. And I'll tell you the reason why. I think he's got that spot nailed, and he was so attacking versus Man United. He was great. I loved everything about his performance. I mean, he only came away with 1 point because he got booked. And I know he does quite like a yellow card, but it was just great. Absolutely. He offered the width. He was constantly being found. And I think he'll get goals, and I think he'll definitely get assists. He'll be on some set pieces as well. And the reason I'm more confident there is because there is a slight doubt about the other players that you'd be considering. So Watkins, everything that I've said, I think he should go for Watkins. I think Gerrard has a lot of logic, and I think he will pick that. And I think, but with Ings there and other forward players, it's not quite 100%. And he could persist with playing Ings and Watkins, which I think is damaging for both of them personally. Mm-hmm. But Gerrard's got a lot of logic, so I don't think that will happen.
Yeah.
And then Coutinho is not quite match fit yet. So will he play 60, 70 minutes? How will he build up his fitness? Because like I said, he's not played, for a year and a half, he's not played 90 minutes. So it's not realistic to expect him to play 90 minutes. Although with us being more possession based, it should be easier for him to play more minutes because it's easier having the ball than not having the ball. So that's probably the one I'm most confident on is Luca Dean. He's got more quality than Cash, so he'll get more returns than Cash almost certainly, in my opinion.
Yeah, and no sympathy minutes for Target. Then he might get the cup games where they're out of the cup, aren't they? So
I don't see Gerrard, and the Gerrard is absolutely so good with the media. He speaks so much sense all of the time. He's one of my favourite managers to listen to, and above all else, he's a winner. I don't see him giving sympathy minutes to anybody. And I think he'll look at the long-term plans. And, you know, I think if Luca Dean is injured or is a yellow card risk or risk of being sent off, of course, Target will come on. But I don't think it'll be... if he doesn't need a rest, Villa want to get as many points as they can and try and push, you know, sneaky European place. So yeah. I just do not see him giving sympathy minutes out to Target at all.
So, Rich, who now, if you were to name it now, you know, and obviously we're going to learn more next week and the week after, yeah, but if you had to pick a top three now in the order of priority for your team, yeah, for Villa, based on, you know, obviously on your own research analysis and based on Adam's thoughts, what would be your kind of order of your top three Villa assets at the moment?
Well, okay, that's a great question. And that was really helpful, Adam. I've learned a lot from the last 10 minutes. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks.
I think, is pretty much confirmed that I want to lose Marcus Alonso for Luca Dean. I think that's a very that's a move I could make next week, because Alonso theoretically has a game this weekend against Tottenham, and I've got two other players who aren't going to play on my bench, so I could upgrade a dead player like Livramento or Ben Johnson, who are pretty useless to me at the moment because they're not playing. I could upgrade one of them to Luca Dean, but then that's going to take a lot of my Salah funds. So I think I'm looking at Alonso to Dean as a move. Mm. And the other move I'm looking at is Ramsey. I quizzed Adam about Ramsey 10 minutes ago because I'm looking at losing Smith Rowe for Ramsey, and that will give me the money in the bank to get Salah in one move in game week 24. So that's why I'm sort of praying for the double game week to be announced, because I can take a hit this week, make a cheap hit with the double, and then I've got the money sitting there for Salah off Mount in game week 24. So those are my moves. What I'm also interested in Watkins, possibly as an Antonio transfer out, or to switch the money away from Ronaldo. I know that's a bit more controversial, but not really that impressed with Ronaldo at the moment.
Oh no, I don't think that's controversial.
Not for 12.5 million. No. We've all got that stuck up front, and if you go to Watkins, you can have anyone then, can't you?
So. What I'm probably going to do, and I want to save a transfer this week, is if Villa don't have a double, would be save a transfer this week and then do Mount and Ronaldo to Watkins and Salah. Mm. See, it seems like a no-brainer, yeah, of a move.
Nice moves.
Yeah, I think Kane's probably the only premium striker of interest, but if I'm not going to captain him, I'd probably rather go elsewhere.
This is why I was asking earlier around Ramsey, see, because when you look at Ramsey and Martinelli, for example, and someone in the chat earlier mentioned Elanga as well, you could maybe even use, if he's a nailed-on starter with excellent fixtures, you could actually use him for a period, you know, for the next kind of 5 or 6 game weeks as a fourth midfielder, which could potentially allow you to get to Salah and Kane, for example. I think this is why I'm quite interested, because, you know, you think, you know, if you have Ramsey or Martinelli, or if you're, you know, brave enough to kind of go all in on Ramsey, you could even go Ramsey in a 4.3 mid and just play Ramsey as your fourth if you really wanted to spend your funds elsewhere. But it's really good to know that, you know, you think he's as nailed as he can be, I think, because I do think that gives people options in terms of maybe going for the two premiums, maybe even three premiums, you know, when Sun is back, for example, you know, and things like that. So
we've had one or two questions on the Twitter from someone who's in a position to say play Foster, who's got a game against Norwich this weekend, and he's looking at a bench. He's got two good benches already, and he wants to bench boost. So if Villa's double does get announced, he brings in Ramsey as his third bencher, and then he's got a great bench boost set up there, hasn't he? So that's very relevant what you're saying.
Just
yeah, no, absolutely.
just on the double, so we haven't really mentioned it yet, but obviously, you know, Ben Krellin and, you know, and all the guys who, you know, who kind of know these things and can predict when doubles are going to happen. I wouldn't say they were confident, but, you know, there's definitely the space for a double game week for Villa to either be part of 23 still or 24, just to confirm kind of my understanding of it, obviously, because we've not really found ourselves in this scenario before. But if a double game week is announced before the deadline tomorrow, it will fall into a double game week 23. If it is announced after the deadline tomorrow, I believe that would then kick off an early game week 24.
Which, if that happens, is problematic for a number of reasons, because it means we're not going to get the press conferences for the majority of the fixtures, because it kicks the game week off earlier. And the other issue with it is that we've just been talking about a couple of South Americans. You throw Rafinha into the mix, they'll be coming back from international fixtures, which could throw, I think it's a Tuesday, maybe Wednesday morning to, if let's say they were playing Saturday, but that could still throw problems in there with, you know, having to test for COVID on the way back, obviously injuries over that time frame, not ideal chance to prepare for fixtures. So I think it's, I don't think it's as straightforward. Everyone's thinking, yeah, it's going to be brilliant, but it could throw up a number of problems particularly if it's in game week 24 as well.
A little bit in the chat, FPL Kahuna says, Watkins only one double digit haul. No thanks. I'm 1974, reckons Digne won't play at Everton. JD Cochran says his three Villa players would be Coutinho, Digne and Watkins, which I think would be mine as well.
That would be my three as well.
Yeah.
Go on. The thing, I don't understand the logic of Luca Digne not playing at Everton, unless he's got an injury I don't know about.
He might get a kicked a bit, but he'd probably play.
He will 100% play at Everton. I can't. Yeah. He made such a difference to our team the weekend. The one thing I would be wary of is bringing a Villa defender in this week. Is firstly, Konsa could be out, who is our best defender by some distance. So that does cause us an issue. And the second thing is that, I think Rafa going and Duncan Ferguson coming in is great for Calvert-Lewin. I think the Everton crowd will be massively behind him. He's quite a popular figure. And I think he'll go quite direct with Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison through the middle. And I think that could cause us problems.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily see a clean sheet there for Villa. Because I think if Rafa was there, I would be more confident in a comfortable victory. But I think Everton will score the weekend. And for those that have got like Rudiger or Alonso, just bear in mind, they've played Spurs twice recently and kept them out twice recently. And they've nullified Spurs. I think Rudiger score? He's got a good record against Spurs. I think he scored against... We said this against Leicester, didn't we, at the start of the season? And he's got a good record versus Spurs. So
I benched him in that game, Adam. Thanks for reminding me.
Oh, you just did, like, yes. I don't think I can go through another 90 minutes of watching Alonso. That's
the only thing. Oh, he's a terrible footballer.
The liability, it's just awful from a fantasy manager's perspective, owning him.
I was going to say avoid the game, but you support Chelsea, so you can't really, can you?
I know, it's just awful. I just people give so much pleasure just transferring him out. But yeah, I get your point, Ree Everton. It's a good one. I think Everton will score.
But I think, you know, the kind of message there is wait as late as you can to make your transfers, because if a double game, and I don't mean like 6:25 PM as what happened a few weeks ago when the site crashed, but you know, if it hasn't been announced by 6 o'clock tomorrow, it's very unlikely to happen. But obviously, if that fixture falls, and bear in mind, it means, you know, the Villa are not playing two strong sides either. They'll be playing Everton. I think it's either, is it Leeds or Burnley? So they'll be two very good fixtures as well. So leave it as long as you can, would probably be the advice there.
One more question for Adam on Villa. Yeah. On this double, Adam, would you say that the Burnley fixture is the one that's more likely to be scheduled, simply because Villa would then, if, if it was Leeds, they'd be playing Leeds, then Leeds, wouldn't they? And the sides wouldn't want to meet twice in a week, would they, ideally?
Ah, yeah, good point. I think the Leeds one was scheduled for TV as well. So I think it was Amazon. So it might be easier to move the Burnley fixture into there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it will happen. But I don't think they'll... I've got a feeling they won't want to conflict it with the FA Cup weekend.
Mm.
And they want all the focus to be on the FA Cup. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that. And I think it's also the attendance for the FA Cup games as well. So I don't know if they'll want to have it that weekend. But we'll have to wait and see. Just one other point to make, because I've been asked this so many times about who's on Villa's penalties. I think if Danny Ings is on the pitch, I'd expect Danny Ings to take them, because purely because he's been taking them anyway, he's a penalty taker. But there's a good chance he won't be on the pitch. So I think if he's not, and Coutinho is, I think Coutinho takes them. And there's a couple of reasons I think this. He's got 11 out of 11 as a penalty record. But is it a couple of interesting stats or points for you about Coutinho? His last two penalties taken, he took one for Barcelona, where there was, Memphis Depay was on the pitch. He's a well-known penalty taker. Must have scored over 30-odd penalties in his career. But he took the penalty. And then there's one before that, Lewandowski for Dortmund, for Munich, was on a hat-trick, and Coutinho took it.
Wow, blimey.
So I think it's because he hadn't scored in the season or something along those lines. But I think if he can take penalties off Lewandowski on a hat-trick and Memphis Depay, it's not going to be that hard taking them off even probably Danny Ings or Watkins can go nowhere near them. I think the only other person who may take them is Buendia. But
maybe Luca Dean can take them. He's taken them for Everton.
I don't see that. I think it'll be one of our attacking players. I think Watkins will want them, but... He needs to stay away from them with his record.
Okay, just to wrap up on Villa then. On screen now, we've got the predicted points for Villa players for the next six games. Obviously, this excludes any doubles. This is how the fixture stand at the moment. But Watkins comes out top, 31 points. Ings on 28. Obviously, this is based on the minutes already played, but both of them have played... lots of minutes so far. Buendia comes in third on 26.9. Luca Dean comes in on 26. Coutinho is 25. However, Coutinho's expected minutes for the foreseeable is around 75 minutes, which obviously does impact. And judging from what Adam has said, then that's probably a fair assessment. Martinez 24, and then we dip back down then to Young Mings and Konsa, etc. But yeah, Watkins, Ings, Buendia, Dina, Coutinho and Martinez are who the predictor fancies to score the points over the next six game weeks. Let's move on then, gents. We've had some questions in the chat. We've also had some on Twitter around, again, we kind of touch on this every week, but I think it is a really good point to touch on every week with the ever-changing landscape. Is our plans in terms of the state of play, chip strategy, second wild card, and things like that. Come to you first, Rich, to give... Adam a break, but but considering where we are now, Rich, what is your current, most up-to-date thinking on, on the game as a whole, where we are and your strategy to use chips and wildcard?
Okay. I think for the first time this week, looking at my team after trying to manage it very carefully and play survival type FPL through Christmas, I looked at the team today, and I, for the first time in a while, I really don't like it.
Oh, really?
I've got a lot. I spent a lot of December preaching the virtues of a strong bench, and having a very deep bench of 15 playing players, and now I've got no bench right now. I've got two injured defenders, or one of whom is not being selected anymore. I've got another guy who isn't in the Arsenal team, so I've got no bench at all, and that's if all the players I've got on in my starting 11 play, and I don't like some of those. So I don't really like Alonso, as I've talked about already. I don't really like Mount. I'm going off Antonio. I don't like Ronaldo. I've got a lot of issues in a lot of areas that I can change. So it's about trying to create the best sequence of transfers over the coming 2 or 3 weeks, you know, without taking too many hits, you know, and obviously, while we think double game weeks are going to be dropping in possibly every week from now on, then that makes it very difficult. It makes it very hard to manage. You know, we've got to reserve a transfer for Salah. You know, I won't go without Salah in my team if he comes back in 24. So again, that's another sort of blocker or a move that everyone's got to try and support. So with one eye on that, I think I'm looking at getting Villa in if they double. If they don't double, I may go elsewhere. I may look at Rafinha or somebody like that for the Newcastle game. I think I probably have to hang on to Mount for one more week. I'd love to lose Alonso just to personally say goodbye to him. But it's about the sequence of transfers. And probably the most sensible thing is to make the highest upside transfer this week to give myself a good captain, because I haven't really got a good captain. I don't really trust Ronaldo again to be my captain this week. Even though on paper he could do well, I just don't feel it at the moment. So I want another option. I know that's a long-winded answer.
What do you perceive to be the highest upside transfer?
Possibly something like Bernardo Silva to Rafinha or something like that, or Mount to Rafinha. As long as I can sort of pocket a bit of cash from the move, then that keeps me moving towards having enough money to get Salah back. Now, if I don't take a hit this week, I can just take a hit next week. It's the same cost. But you know, I was hoping to get the double, because then I can bring in a couple of Villa players, enable the cash for Salah and not take a hit next week. If there is no double, I'll probably won't take a hit this week and just take it next week.
Do you need the cash for Salah if you get rid of Ronaldo?
No.
I can get rid of Ronaldo. I don't think he's even there.
Yeah. Yeah. Get rid of Ronaldo for Watkins.
So
I think so, yeah.
You mentioned, Rich, you know, that your team's a bit of a mess, or, you know, you're not happy with it. Has playing any of the chips or even the early wild cards come into your thoughts at all? Kind of knowing now that from game week, I think 25 onwards, obviously we can't put extra games in 24 because it's a midweek set of fixtures. But from 25 onwards, there's a very high chance that a lot of teams will double for a fair few weeks on the trot. You know, we know that Burnley have got five fixtures to play. We know Arsenal, Leeds, et cetera, et cetera. Are you tempted to try and jump on that train with a wild card, or do you want a bit more information?
No, I'm not. I'm unhappy, but I'm not unhappy enough to wild card. I think if I was to get two or three injuries, or, you know, literally have a bunch of flag players and, you know, all sorts of issues, and then, I don't know, some more blanks and doubles were to be announced that just made it irresistible, I think that changes the thing. I mean, at the moment we've got around, God, what is it, 19 or 20 fixtures which are unscheduled. That's a lot of unscheduled football. Something like 15% of the remaining fixtures are not scheduled. So I'd want to see that in a schedule. I don't know whether we're never going to get to a stage where they're all linked in, but I'd certainly want to see more than one or two of them inked in before I wildcard it, because there'll just be so much opportunity to plan that wildcard once the schedule is laid out. And it's almost like the TV companies will dictate, or they'll publish their March schedule or their April schedule, and then they'll sequence some doubles at that point. And that's when you'll get all the wildcard talk starting, or the chip strategy talk starting. Oh, if I free hit this and then wildcard that and then bench boost there and triple captain here, it will all suddenly become a lot more obvious to people. And that's what I'm waiting for. At the moment, there are just too many unknowns, Fergie, for me to wildcard. I get the point. And I think if people's teams are in a lot more of a mess than my own, I think a wildcard is reasonable. But there's too much unknown for me. That answers the question.
Good stuff. Thank you, Rich. Just a bit of news from the chat that Algeria Been knocked out of AFCON, so Benrahma and Mahrez could be back sooner than we thought. Thank you, Linesh, and the, you know, and the guys above who said that as well. Adam, what are your thoughts on the current state of play, and are you tempted to hit any buttons in terms of wildcards or chips in the next week or two?
No, I don't think so, because I think Rich said it all there. There's still too many unknowns. I think as we get towards the end of the season and we see more of a lot of these double game week fixtures scheduled or still left to play, I think it's quite nice to have your chips so you can attack it and you've got less of an issue with COVID. I think as the weather gets warmer as well. So I think for me, yeah, I want to save my chips towards the end of the season. I mean, I think there's a possibility of using a free hit maybe in game week 27.
Hmm.
That's a possibility. Yeah,
blanks for...
Yeah, where Liverpool blank. Yeah. And I think that's... I could see myself doing that. But I think up until that point, what I want to try and do, and I'm assuming there will not be a double game week this week because I think we've got to the point where it's a little bit too close. I think if we get to, we've passed, obviously, the Premier League's closed, Premier League HQ's closed for today. So it will have to be announced realistically early tomorrow. Because I think, I disagree with you, Sonfeg. I think they do consider when they announce it, because they would have known, to whether they know today or first thing tomorrow, I think they'll delay the announcement to after the deadline because it really does make it unfair for people in different countries. I think I have seen them delay announcements. So it might be confirmed behind, you know, with all parties. But I think if it's not announced by, say, 11 o'clock tomorrow, I think it gets announced after the deadline. So I think it's more unlikely that there's a double game week 23 than it is likely at the moment. I think it's more likely to go into 24 if it happens at all. So it makes me, my ideal this week is to save a transfer because I've been taking hits left, right and centre. There's been so much uncertainty and I just think I need to step away, stop trying to overcomplicate things. And I think I know for a fact I will want to use at least two transfers next week. So I have to get Salah, don't have to, but I would want to get Salah back in. So if I use a transfer this week, I'm committing to a minus four next week. So I know saving a transfer this week definitely saves me 4 points. So I think ideally, hopefully there's no injuries tonight in the League Cup for Liverpool. And hopefully I can get through saving a transfer, which would be nice.
Would indeed. Yeah, I do agree on the chips. I've seen some things on social media about people maybe kind of wild card into this week. I just can't think of a worse week, you know, with the international break, but also an FA Cup round with most of the big teams are still in. Who you're going to want players from playing 2 or 3 days before the next game week?
Exactly.
I don't really understand that. But
no, I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
In terms of players, you know, we've been slagging off Ronaldo and a few other players as well. What we've got now up on screen again from fantasyfootballhub.co.uk are the total predicted points the next 6 game weeks. And top is someone we haven't mentioned so far, but he's been very quietly going under the radar. But he's top by a mile, and it's Kevin De Bruyne for Man City. You know, he's predicted to get 44 points. Ronaldo is second on 37, Cancelo 35. I know you guys have mentioned Antonio and Ronaldo to get rid of. They are second and fourth here on the predicted points. And I can understand why, because I just look at their fixtures a little bit more because, you know, we mentioned, you know, maybe getting rid of Antonio. They're away to United, who, you know, we acknowledged earlier, are dreadful defensively, and Antonio will have chance on the weekend. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Then after that, they're home to Watford, who are dreadful at the back. They're then away to Leicester, who are dreadful at the back, and they're then home to Newcastle. So I know Antonio himself hasn't been playing out of this world, but if there's ever a fixture run to keep him, I think this is the run. It's quite a similar story, actually, for Man United. You know, obviously, this week hasn't worked out for us in terms of Ronaldo owners, right? But that's not to say that it won't revert back. We obviously thought enough of Ronaldo to bring him in, me and Adam, for hits, to bring him in and captain him. We're obviously that scared about him a few days ago. Now, I know what's happened has happened, but their next five fixtures as well. So they have West Ham on the weekend, who have been absolutely superb going forward, but have been very suspect at the back. They then go Burnley away, Southampton at home, Leeds away, and Watford at home. So I personally, I'm definitely holding on to Antonio because their fixtures are absolutely insane. Mm. But I'm tempted to hold on to Ronaldo. The only reason, the only way I think I won't is if Villa have the double, and then I'll probably move on to Watkins because I've got, you know, King and King and Antonio I'm kind of happy with for a couple of weeks still. But I personally think that it's very easy to look at one game week and in the bin, crap, red arrow, let's change everything up. But I do think sometimes just a pause and have a look looking forward, because as we all know, as we've all done a million times, taking someone out before they go on a run of points hurts more than anything else.
It's purely this Ronaldo kind of apathy now is purely caused by the pain of the Bruno Fernandes performance, you know, but not owning him and going into the West Ham game now. If you've got Bruno, you're going to probably captain him again, aren't you? Because you've still got a differential on most of the game. His form's picked up, his confidence has picked up, and it's all about the recency bias of suffering the swing from Ronaldo. Doesn't mean Ronaldo's not going to score two at the weekend and Bruno gets nothing. That's a perfectly reasonable outcome, isn't it? But it just doesn't feel that.
It's probably a more probable outcome, I would guess.
Yes, yeah.
I think on the Ronaldo thing, I just think that value-wise, if you're not going to captain him, I think there's better options to have and to spread your money. I think it's not necessarily for bench boost purposes. It's because of fixtures being called off and having that stronger squad and benefiting from doubles. I just think him and Salah, I think, is a bit overkill. So for me, what I think I'll do, I'll probably keep Ronaldo the weekend, ditch him next week. So he's got Burnley away. But this is only if Salah's back. If Salah's not back, I wouldn't do it. But I'd be ditching him for Watkins, and I'd be gambling on Watkins matching Ronaldo, and I'd be confident with it. Antonio, I agree with you on. I was quite bullish on getting rid of him last week, but then things changed with the doubles and I decided to keep him. But yeah, I think he's quite a streaky player, I think, Antonio. And as we saw at the start of the season, and he's done the opposite over it. But he's ticking along okay, isn't he? He's been getting the odd goal and assist. So I think for his price and the fact if you're going to have one premium, I think for me, I quite like the structure of having 2 to 3 mid-price forwards all that play, and then a heavier midfield. I think I quite like that structure. Maybe one big hitter and, you know, four, six to eight million. Midfield, because I think that's where the ceiling is at the moment. I think that's where the high points can come. And obviously, you can have your 6 to 7 million defenders probably with that structure as well.
Yeah. So you're back to your table briefly, Fergie. We still no takers for De Bruyne then.
Well, so I think Adam had a point, didn't you, about fixture congestion earlier?
Yeah. I think so. I put this in the chat earlier, and I think it's probably even worse now that Algeria are out of AFCON. So we looked at the fixtures after. Let me just get my. I'll get it up just so I've got accurate data and I'm not making it up. But we looked at fixtures after the international break, and the fixtures for City are quite condensed. So at the start of 5th of February, they play Fulham. 9th of February, they play Brentford. 3 days later on the 12th, they play Norwich. So if you look at the gap between Brentford and Norwich, which are great fixtures, can you guarantee 180 minutes for any of their attackers? Absolutely not.
No, they all
not.
Got rotated, weren't they? Yeah.
And then after the Norwich game, they're playing Sporting Lisbon in the Champions League. And then it's Pep, Spurs after that. So
Pep always rotates for the Champions League. That's his number one target, isn't it? You know,
I just think there's teams with. I think personally, and loads of disagree with me for attackers anyway. I think Laporte is a great option as a second defender, but I just think that there will be a lot of rotation for attackers, and I think the time to have got on was weeks ago. I think you just, you're better off looking at teams with more fixtures and play. If you just look at the midfield options, Bowen, Rafinha, Jota, Maddison, Coutinho, all Son. Got potential. All got potential for double game weeks, and they're more nailed than the City guys. I think if you got De Bruyne, a great captaincy shout this week, or if you want a 1 week punt to set up Salah, maybe fair enough. But City don't tend to thrash Southampton away, from what I remember. I think they've been fairly close games the last two or three times.
You're right.
Third on list is Cancelo, who's obviously, you know, been absolutely sensational this season. Should be in everyone's team. Calvert-Lewin is there. Obviously Everton have got some really good fixtures. Bruno is up there as well. Watkins, Alexander-Arnold, and then Salah and Kane. Obviously, Salah is in there, even though he misses a game or two as well, which is interesting. And then you've got Jota, Rafinha, Bernardo, Bowen, but this doesn't include double game weeks. And to Adam's point, I think it's a really important point there, Adam. You know, even though, you know, and to Richard's point earlier, where he said, don't really want to start to attack the doubles until we know what the doubles are. But I would also say, just to have in the back of our minds that we know players like Rafinha, and other teams are doubling, even Arsenal. You know, Arsenal are going to have some really nice fixtures. Maybe not. You know, I don't know who'd get from Burnley, maybe. But you know, just having the back of their mind, Spurs as well. I think we're very likely, personally, think we're going to want Kane, maybe even a double up of Son and Kane in the near future and stuff. So it's just having in the back of our mind that, you know, we are going to want quite a lot of players outside of Man City players, especially, I suppose, the point you're trying to make here is De Bruyne takes up a lot of funds and there's going to be a lot of double game weekers.
It feels very short term owning him, and I think the fact that City have no extra games in hand is an important factor. If you add the rotation into that, it's a pricey punt, isn't it, to make, really.
Do we know when you mentioned Kane and Son? Do we know when their doubles are likely to be? They're likely to be later on in the season.
Have you seen that graphic that's doing the rounds? I can't remember who to credit with it, but it's been on a couple of the pods and it's on Twitter. Someone's done an algorithm based graphic that predicts
when
the teams are most likely to have their doubles. So someone like Leicester, who've got all their European fixtures to play, most of their doubles are going to come in the last 4 or 5 weeks. It's like you can see there's a higher likelihood that Leicester are not going to get a double in the next 4 to 6 weeks. But there's obviously the Villa example. You know, Villa are much more likely to get a double this week or next because of the fact they haven't got any European football and they're out of the cups. So therefore, it's taking all that into account and predicting when those doubles will fall. So that's a really nice. I don't know whether we can get that up on the screen, but
I saw it, but I didn't look at it. Yeah. It's from, is it Mikel Top?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah.
The transfer algorithm. Yeah.
Yes.
I subscribe to that. It's brilliant. I love the transfer algorithm. I'm just trying to see if I can find it now. The probability of, I can't find it with all of them in there, but yeah, be interested to know Spurs. When are they more likely to say later in the season?
I'm not sure about Spurs. Leicester was one that was definitely skewed towards the end.
Yeah.
I think I've got a picture of it somewhere.
I would guess Spurs have maybe be a little bit earlier because they're out of Europe now, aren't they? I would guess. And that's the point of the teams who are in Europe and who are not in Europe. But FPL Focal and Tom Stevenson is the transfer algorithm by Mikel Tokovam. If you don't follow Mikel, make sure you do. He's got his algorithm, you know, as the boys say, that graphic is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, yeah, I've got it here, actually. So I don't know if it's the most up-to-date, but looking at it, it looks fairly likely that Spurs in 25 and 26 potentially could have a double game week, or 28 and 29. So the most likely is game week 36, but there's quite a few game weeks which have got about a 1.3 probability.
I'm honestly thinking of pushing a wild card around 24 or 25 because I think by that point we're going to have a fairly good idea. We'll definitely have some doubles. rearranged, and we're gonna, you know, and obviously with the changes that the Premier League are making after this, you know, after this weekend's games, in terms of the eligibility of postponements due to COVID, etc., I think we'll obviously see very much stricter guidelines there in terms of being able, you know, I doubt we'll see, with that and a reduction of cases we've seen at the moment, I doubt we'll see many, if any, more postponements. So we can actually start to plan a bit better. And I just think personally, the way my season's going, again, it's team dependent, rank dependent, but you know, I'm, where am I now? 125k, you know, and not really pulling up any trees. And I think at my rank, I think by wildcarding earlier than maybe, you know, the template may do, can try and just gamble a little bit and make up, you know, a little bit of ground. And I think that's my thought, because I think from it's game week 25 onwards when we start to see these doubles, aren't they? And we all know, even though it hasn't come to pass so far, just how powerful these double game weeks can be, because it only needs one person to do something in one of the games and you get a bit of a monster, don't you? But have you guys had any thoughts on wildcarding kind of that early, or are you going to kind of see it out and go around, what is it, 29 and or 30 or something like that? Or
I don't know. I'm just trying to stay flexible, but I want to get to a point where there isn't, there aren't too many fictures being called off, and we've got some certainty that the fictures are going to go ahead. So, you know, anybody that bought any Watford players this week, it's just you want to know that there's a good chance the fixtures will happen. And I think the one thing that could change that, which I would like to see, and I think I heard Christian Perslow, Village CEO, talk about it today, is the Premier League changing the guidelines for calling off fixtures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think that has to happen, surely. I think now we're at a stage where almost every team has benefited in some format.
Yeah.
Call a clean break after the international break might be a fair time to do it.
And when you look at the differences in the sizes of the squads, you know, for say Burnley compared to City, say, you know, they've got almost got twice the amount of players. So therefore,
yeah, exactly.
If you don't, you know, I think Italy, they operate a percentage structure rather than you're just saying 13 players. They say 35% of the squad must be, you know, available or something, rather than, or 35% unavailable. It's proportional to the size of the team. Make it fairer, yeah. Because large squad teams shouldn't be calling off matches. And you know, lo and behold, City haven't had any postponements. You know,
yeah, I'd agree with that. It should just be simple. It should just be number of COVID cases and or related COVID cases. It shouldn't be injuries. It shouldn't be players away. They've set a rod for their own back.
Yeah.
And they've put a system in place that can easily be manipulated by teams, and it has been. So you can't be surprised. And you know, anybody had any animosity towards Arsenal or had issues with that, well, why would they not do that when other teams have done it? I don't blame them for that. It's a key game for their season. We called it last week, didn't we, about it being a really key game for their season. Why would they not do it?
Yeah, if they're going to go in with a weakened side, as you can understand,
exactly.
Okay, we had some questions in on off Twitter, so let's move in. The first three actually are all around De Bruyne, which you know, we kind of answered. But Khan said, providing it isn't a double, should we double up on City mids or defence? Helga says, what do you think about KDB in the coming weeks? No double, but still planning to get in his team. And how good a captain option is KDB, really? Very small sample size, but he has a maximum of 8 points in his 9 away games, only scoring twice and assisting once. Should we ignore this because of his good form recently? So obviously, you know, in terms, I think it's fair to say that all three of us don't think he's probably a good medium-term option, but in terms of maybe targeting one or two game weeks, and we'll move on to captaincy next. But do we think, you know, if people really want to get him in, that he is a good pick in isolation for this game week, for example? Rich, what do you think about that?
It's a decent short-term option. I mean, you could just, if you're on Bruno, you could hop straight across to KDB this week and move the captaincy on him and then hop on to Salah when he's back.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If your squad is healthy and they're all playing and you haven't got any other fires to put out, I'd say, you know, we always use this term team dependent, but it really does depend on the health of your squad. If you've got, if it's a move you can make by moving a healthy in-form player out for him, then you must have a very healthy squad. If you've got some of the issues that I've got in terms of players you just want to ditch and looking down the road and saying, oh, I'm struggling to get a side out, then I don't think I can consider De Bruyne without taking multiple hits. And I don't think that's worth it for all the reasons we've already gone over.
Good stuff. Martin Beasley asks, he has a strong 11 this week with two strong subs with cash to spare. Is it worth a -4 to add two subs and go for the bench boost? He's thinking maybe Walker and Saka. I was tempted last week, and I'm glad I never, obviously, because of the postponements, which is why I never in the end. But bench boost, I'd love to get bench boost out of the way. Do you think a hit to get, you know, a bench boost out is something you guys would advocate? Adam, what do you think first?
I don't think, I don't know what other chips that he has left, but I probably wouldn't. I don't think it's a single game week at the moment. I think there's better opportunities to use it. But again, without seeing his team, he could have a team with loads of great fixtures, not knowing who to bench. It could make sense. Yeah. I think bench boost, I'm just looking at the probability of double game weeks as well. I think bench boost for me, if you've got it left with a wild card, is doing it in that 36 double game week or possibly the 33 one, if that's the other one. I just think there will be more certainty the fixtures will actually go ahead there at that point in the season because they'll have to. So that's what I'm thinking of doing at the moment.
I saw this chap's question, Fergie, earlier, and there was another chap who said he had Ben Foster. I think I mentioned it earlier.
Yes,
so if you've got Ben Foster, let's say, you know, that we back to that Ramsey thing. You know, if you were able to bring Ramsey in for a double game week, and you got Ben Foster and two good subs, then you can and everything else is healthy. Yeah, get it out of the way because you know you've got Foster against Norwich. If you've got another good keeper, then that's your opportunity to play it. If you do have an opportunity to play it and everything is set up, then don't worry about not having 15 double game week players. It's good to get it. If everything looks good, it's good to give it a go. But you need to be fairly sure there's not going to be any postponements. And with that Arsenal Burnley game still in doubt and still got 100,000 COVID cases a day here, you know, there's still chances games could get called off under the current rules until they change the rules. So
do you think Burnley can have another game called off? I'm not sure they can.
I suppose
they can play a lot of their games midweeks, can't they? So
Lyle Kruger asks, please answer my question. Jota and Son to Buendia and De Bruyne. My biggest concern is, will Buendia see less game time or does Coutinho make him a better option? So Jota and Son to Buendia and De Bruyne. Rich, what do you think about that?
Well, I was going to say, you know, maybe Adam can comment, but I think he did earlier when he said that Buendia looked to, you know, a fairly essential part of the Villa master plan going forward, so they seem like decent moves to me. Jota, I would still hang on to for the time being. He's had a lot of good stats. He just has been missing a lot of chances recently, and yeah, I think until Salah's back, he's pretty nailed and could do well. So, and KDB and Buendia for the next three sounds all right to me.
So,
what do you think, Adam? Would you get Buendia in that double?
I think
KDB and Coutinho, maybe.
This is the big if, isn't it? It's if Villa double. And I think if they do, yeah, definitely do. I like that move. Buendia, I wouldn't worry too much about Buendia. I think he'll play the majority of minutes. Losing Jota, though, I'm not sure I'd want to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And FPL River just asks, I think you might have just answered this one, actually. If you could pick one, would it be Foden or Jota for the coming weeks? I struggle with Man City because holding their attackers in these times, especially when they've only got one game, because it feels like if your player starts, you almost feel like lucky that they're starting. Whereas with Jota, especially, you know, with Salah and Mane away, and you know he's going to play, and he's playing for, you know, a team. He's going to play up front for a team, you know, who scores loads of goals. For me, it's a bit of a no-brainer. Whereas City have got so many attacking options that you just never know who the front three is going to be. And it's, you know, like I say, you get the lineups and you're like, oh, yes, my player's playing, rather than you should be, yes, he's playing. You know, obviously he's playing.
But I think now you said, I was definitely considering getting Foden in. I sold Foden when I think he had COVID 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's been in my team a lot this year, and he'd be my pick out of all of them to have just for value and ability. But again, with Mahrez coming back, if you say Algeria have just gone out of the AFCON, then that's another competitor to that City midfield, and you know the roulette that will no doubt continue. So yeah, you do, every time City's lineup gets out, you're sort of 50-50 on whether your player is going to play, and half the time Foden doesn't start games, even though, you know, through injury or illness or what, for one reason or another, you look at his minutes, it's only played about 1,000 minutes in the whole season. And he's arguably the best player so far. So, yeah, it's a toughie. I don't think City are a buy anymore for the reasons we've discussed. I think they're possibly a hold for a while if you've got one. I've just got the wrong one. I've got Bernardo.
You're spot on there. Everything you've said is spot on. So I don't think I would buy a City attacker at the moment. I think like you said as well, Fergie, Jota is nailed, isn't he? Well, Salah's away. And I think he's probably a better option when Salah gets back, because I think Liverpool are better as well.
And you've got that kind of dual headache of congested fixtures and at least two players available for each position. You know they're going to rotate every single game, don't you?
The other thing, like just what you've both been saying about City, is that maybe the difference in the last couple of months, there haven't necessarily been as many great options available. But I think now there are so many good midfield options.
And they're all fit as well, aren't they?
You don't really need to go to City, do you? And play the roulette.
Yeah, and the number of goals, I don't know whether it was last week, but there's only two clean sheets or something, wasn't there? There was loads of goals last week. Yeah. And not coming just from City. You know, they are coming from
Throwing them in, aren't they, Martinez? Yeah.
Let's have a look then at the captaincy. And for once, do you know, I haven't got a clue who to captain this week. And it's interesting because we put out a poll on Fantasy Football Hub. If you don't follow, make sure you do, at FFH_HQ. We put out a poll earlier and we put on, I found it hard to pick four because it was so many options. But I picked out De Bruyne away to Southampton, Dennis home to Norwich, Bruno home to West Ham, and Alexander-Arnold away to Palace. Obviously, there's other great options like, you know, Ronaldo himself, maybe the West Ham players, Rafinha, Cancelo, you know, there's a lot of options there. On the poll, De Bruyne came out top 48.9%. Trent came out second, 27%. Then Dennis with 15%. And Fernandez, surprisingly, only 8% of the vote. On the Hub predictor, just for this particular game week, De Bruyne comes out on top. Martinelli comes out second, which is quite interesting because obviously they're home to Burnley. And then Rafinha, Ronaldo, and then Lacazette. So, Rich, if I can come to you first, what are your thoughts on the captaincy this week? Because I haven't got an answer.
Yeah, I'm a bit stuck, to be honest. I've got it on, think of my bus team, which you'll see later. I think I've got it on Jota at the moment, away at Palace. By no means certain about that at all. I think the confidence has kind of disappeared for me for Ronaldo, but I will consider him. I think he'll start again. He was substituted after about 75 minutes, wasn't he, or 72 minutes or something against Brentford. So he'll play. So from my team's perspective, I'd probably say Ronaldo's got a feature. Cancelo's a good vice captain this week, I think, possibly even a captaincy. But if I'm going to make a transfer, I'd possibly bring Rafinha in and captain him against Newcastle. I think that's a bit punty, but he did look good, didn't he, last week against West Ham?
Fantastic, isn't he? He's fantastic. So underpriced, and I was the fool who took him out early. Adam, what are your thoughts on the captaincy?
Like you said, it's completely wide open. I think there's a lot of good options actually this week that could. Which make it fairly difficult. I'm not that sold on Watford v Norwich because I think Norwich actually have played quite well I don't think they'll, you know, they obviously beat Everton and they'll be targeting that game as much as Norwich will. And I think Dean Smith will try and keep it tight. So, and they haven't been firing on all cylinders, have they, Watford recently? So I'm not convinced with that game. I would say, I think both Villa and Everton will score, and I think Villa will score more than one. So I think you've got a Villa attacker potentially. Look at that. So maybe Watkins. I'm just not sure Coutinho will start, unfortunately. I'd say 60-40 in favour of him starting. I'm just looking at the other fixtures. Leeds versus Newcastle. I don't think you can go wrong with Rafinha in that fixture. So United versus West Ham. I don't know on that one. I'm not sure.
2-2 draw, that'll be.
I reckon. I can see that being a high scoring.
I can
game.
Feel it being a 2-2 yeah, draw.
I can as well. I think that'll be.
Yeah, I mean, you can't write off Ronaldo or Bruno, can you? In that, you might fancy Bowen even going a bit different. So I'm just naming all the players. I've got my team. Or just going through the games, naming all the players here.
But it really is. It's kind of, I think it's the most wide open captaincy we've had this season because there's no standout, is there? There's no real obvious one that you can oppose. There's no standout captain. I think for the first time this season.
I like Martinelli. I must admit, I do like Martinelli for this game week. And I think he's looked very good. And I think Burnley on paper is as good a fixture because they've not been playing much. They're not going to have much momentum. So subject to ask that game being on, I quite like Martinelli as a shout.
The teams aren't out yet, are they, for the Arsenal Liverpool game? Smith Rowe might be back for Arsenal. I might yet squeeze another goal out of him this weekend. I don't know whether I'll captain him though. Yeah, exactly. I don't know whether I'll captain him though.
I think that would be cheeky. I think this week I've been looking for an opportunity, really. I've kind of bottled it in previous weeks, but I think I'm going to go for Cancelo captain this week because...
Like it, yeah.
I've wanted to do it in different weeks, and he has done well in the weeks I've wanted him to. And I just have it because obviously of Salah mainly, obviously. But I do think this week is a good opportunity, you know, because I think as well it's quite important for me anyway, is that if he doesn't start, which is very unlikely anyway, but he doesn't tend to come on either, which is always a concern with, you know, with a captain. But I think I'm going to go for Cancelo at the moment. You know, it may change if anything comes out tomorrow in the press conferences, or if it's a double game week, it's all up in the air, right? And if this, because I think that Burnley and Watford is there's potential for that one to potentially go on the weekend of the FA Cup as well, if they do that, because both those teams are out of the FA Cup as well. So
So would you captain Josh King if Watford had a double and they're the only team that doubled?
I think I might. I think I'd be tempted actually because again they're good fixtures. That would be a thing for me where I may be tempted to go like Ronaldo to Dennis and do a bit of a double up front and that would be my route back to Salah.
Well, after.
I don't know. We'll see.
But that's asking for trouble. Just so you know, Smith Rowe is starting tonight.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay, he's back. Oh, yay.
But yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of love for De Bruyne, which I can understand, but De Bruyne these days, for me, you know, he keeps proving me wrong, right? But it's very rare at the moment you see him kind of sniffing around. I always like to captain a player who's always sniffing around, having lots of shots inside the box, that kind of player, like a Jota, rather than De Bruyne, who will get one or two chances from outside the box, as he did against Chelsea, scored, mopped the bonus. But for me, you know, it's obviously a fantastic goal. But other than that, he didn't really have much of a chance, did he? And I just think if you're only getting one or two shots outside the box, it doesn't really inspire it for me with captaincy. And maybe that's the wrong way to think, but, you know, that is the way I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
The thing is that what I've noticed is that a lot of these premiums, that they've been poor value pretty much all season apart from Salah. When you look at Kane's form, you look at Bruno's form, you look at De Bruyne's form, recent weeks, they're all suddenly just visually, Kane played really, really well against Leicester. He could have had four or five goals. He got a couple of assists, I think, or goal and assist. He was really, really good yesterday. And De Bruyne, that they are starting to hit form, those three guys. So there are now other premium options. And when Son comes back, he was on great form before he got injured. So the premiums are, I think they're back, maybe obviously not for this week, but they're back for consideration, I think, because it's not just about Salah anymore.
And interestingly, we've all picked three different captains, which is interesting. That's probably and that just goes to show how wide open it is. And I think I would kind of encourage anyone who's, you know, who's been moaning all season, you know, around oh, it's too template or whatever else, take the opportunity this week, because there's no standout captain this week. You know, even the players we're talking about, there's none of them are really highly owned, are they? You know, like, I know Trent is highly owned, Cancelo, but, you know, we're talking about players who are 20-30%. Oh, we're not talking about 40-50-60%. So enjoy yourself this week and take a punt, I think, because there's no standout option. I'd be very surprised if there was one clear standout captaincy option, unless a double happens, which is obviously, you know.
A good week to read our colleague Chris Tan's captaincy article. Definitely worth a read.
Fantasyfootballhub.co.uk for those who haven't seen it. Adam, we've got your team now on screen. Could you just read through it for our podcast listeners and tell us your thoughts and keep it clean?
What did you say, sorry?
Keep it clean, because your team's in a bit of a state.
Oh, wow. Rich wants my team, so not sure it's in too much of a state. Yeah, so I've got De Gea in goal, save machine, one of the best keepers in the league, happy with him. Got Trent, he's not too bad, wouldn't say that's a state. Got Cancelo, some people might be captaining him, so he's looking good. I've got Rudiger, last two appearances versus Spurs, he scored. And kept three clean sheets out of three versus them this season. So that's looking good. So we're going well so far. Rafinha, who a lot are looking to bring in. He's got the armband at the moment. Madison, who scored last night, is in brilliant form. Possible contender to get the captaincy this week for me. Bowen and Jota, quite happy to have. You could argue that Bowen is the form player in the league at the moment. Yeah, Mount stinks it out a bit. Okay,
I'm surprised you're playing Mount over Antonio, I must say.
Yeah. Who would you play, Rich?
I'm possibly likely to transfer out Mount. I'm not even sure he'll start. He didn't play very well against Brighton, so could see he doesn't even start the game. So I don't know. At the moment, you'll see later, I've got to play them both because of my bench.
Yeah,
I don't like either of them as options, really. I think for your team, I like the way you've got it set up with the 3-5-2. I think that's the way I'd set it up.
I just think that how did Lukaku, just digressing, how did Lukaku play against Brighton?
Very poorly.
Brilliant. Okay. I've got, surely it'll be he'll consider going back to Havertz with maybe Mount and Pulisic either side.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping anyway.
Could well be, yeah.
I think Mount, I sort of agree with Antonio. I could see him maybe getting an assist or something, but I think Mount's got more probability of getting a double-digit haul with an assist and a goal or something. And, you know,
I think Antonio's, like, look at his United defence. They're an absolute shambles. They really are a mess. And Antonio is just going to bully him. You've got Antonio up against Maguire or Lindelof, like two of the worst defenders for form in the league at the moment. They're just awful. They're absolutely awful. And I fancy Antonio to get at least a goal on the weekend.
Well, we'll see on that. I'm happy to keep Antonio though. And then I've got King up front versus Norwich and Ronaldo versus West Ham. So my plan is, because I've got a good first sub, my plan is to roll a transfer. So the two decisions I've got this week is, who do I captain and do I start Mount or Antonio? And I'll be honest, until you just said, I hadn't even given it a second thought. I was all in on Mount, because I just, but I didn't watch the game versus Brighton. So I'll have a look. Do you think he's likely to start, Rich?
I don't know. I was really surprised he didn't start against City because I thought Chelsea would play their best team. I thought, you know, you play your best team in the, you know, the kind of the title decider or whatever. And he played Ziyech instead. And Ziyech, you know, had a decent game. Mm-hmm. So that was reversed for the Brighton game. But Mount kind of went missing during the Brighton game. Didn't really do anything at all. I think it's 50-50 on whether he starts against Spurs. I do agree. I think he would be in my team against Spurs, but I'm not sure. I think Spurs will do better third time around against us. You know, they look really good against Leicester, and I think they've upped had something like 25, 26 goal attempts or something, maybe even 30 goal attempts last night in the game. So they've really upped the amount of goal attempts, and that's without Son on the pitch as well. So I'm quite pessimistic about Chelsea for the weekend.
Got some feedback in the chat, Adam, about your team. JD Cochran says, nice team. I go Ronaldo to Kane. Amen says Antonio. Blue Knicks, Bowen, only 3 goals in 43 away games, apparently, which is quite an interesting stat. But I think you'll add to that against United. JD says Lukaku, terrible. Michael Ritchie says 100% Fergie. This is when I was talking about Antonio over Mount. Noki said would definitely play Antonio over Mount. And Tom Stevenson, one of the best ever managers, I think we can agree, says agree. So, I think he's... I just have to get that in, didn't I? And Grant Elliott, Man United v West Ham could be 4-all terrible defences. I do agree. They're both awful defences. Yeah. I'm quite excited, actually, going into that game with Ronaldo, Antonio and Bowen, because I think it could be a 2-all or a 3-2. Jefferson thinks it could be 3-2 to the Hammers. Okay, Rich, let's move on to... So are you saving there, Adam? Sorry. And your captain Rafinha as it stands?
Yeah. I think it makes sense for me to save a transfer this week. I just can't.
I think so.
I think I could... There's transfers I could make, but I just think I know I want to make 2 next week to get Salah back. So I'm probably best saving if I can.
Fair enough. We got Rich's team now on screen. Rich, do you mind reading through and giving us your thoughts?
Sure. Okay. All right. So I'm all over the place with this team. Fortunately, I've got 2 keepers, so I will play Ramsdale at home to Burnley rather than De Gea, due to the reasons we've discussed about the thinking the United West Ham game will be full of goals, probably be full of shots and saves for Dave as well. But I think you'd go Ramsdale over those two. Fairly template back 3 of Cancelo, Trent and Alonso. Don't like Alonso, said 4 or 5 times on this show. I'd really like to move him out this week, but at least he has a game. Midfield of Mount, Bowen, Jota and Bernardo. Got the armband on Jota at the moment just because I was doing a bus team for you, Fergie. I'm undecided on that, but I'm so split on the captaincy that I've, at the moment I had to pick one, so I've given it to Diogo. And up front, playing Antonio, playing Ronaldo, playing Josh King, good fixture against Norwich. At the moment, Ronaldo's the vice, but I might swap that over. And as you can see from my bench, I'm glad Smith Rowe is starting tonight because at least he has a chance of playing at the weekend. And I've got no other bench. So if Smith Rowe does well tonight, I might be tempted to play him over Mount against Burnley. I don't know what the chat thinks of that. I'd love to hear the feedback. But if I've got a bench player, that will feel a lot more secure than having nothing. I think in terms of a transfer, I probably do need to make a transfer. I just feel the team is too weak, and I do fancy Rafinha. If Villa don't double, I think Bernardo to Rafinha or Mount to Rafinha would be the move, and just give Alonso that last game. If I take Alonso out for Dina, that's another option, but that's more of a long-term move. And I think Adam gave some good insight earlier about their likely fortunes away to Everton. So I'm sort of slightly off-putted with Alonso to Dina. So I might have to go through one more experience of owning him.
We've only had one.
What do you think?
We've only had one comment.
What do you think? Yeah.
We've only had one comment.
Go on.
We've only...
We've only... We've only
say, how can you be 15k?
Omar Bergeson.
What's that?
Omar Bergeson says, "Dear God, I would wildcard that team." That's the only feedback we've had about your team.
I told you I didn't like it. Thank you, Omar.
What do you think, Adam? What do you think of Rich's plan?
I think, will Smith Rowe start the weekend? I think Partey's on the bench tonight. So their best 11 of recent, it probably signals he wouldn't. But I think a lot will depend on tonight, I think. I don't think your team's as bad as everyone's making out. I think one or two. No, I think one transfer, you'll be fine. I think.
Omar's fuming with his team.
I'd wild card.
And Nuki has just added, to be fair, Rich's team is in a bit of a state. You're not getting as much love as Adam's team this week. This week, Rich.
But, no, it definitely needs. I don't feel it's really wild card dire straits, but certainly I'm not happy with it, and I'm not expecting to, soar up the rankings with it.
I would keep Bernardo this week. Because I think
he's been isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to start, and he's the sort of player that can return in any match. So if I'm looking at your team, Mount could still do. I think he could do well against Spurs. So I don't think it's as drastic as everyone's saying. Maybe bring him, if you did say Mount to Rafinha or whoever. I think that you got a decent 11 there. I don't think there's any. You don't need to take a hit. Unless it's double game weeks, that changes obviously everything.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Khan says, "I would actually roll Rich, provided you can lock a good captain choice." And Man gives you some really positive feedback. Rich's team is not that bad. That's about the best. That's about as good as it gets, Rich. Sorry, but you're all right. It's only like Alonso, Mount, and Bernardo are just a bit meh, aren't they? But other than that,
they just need to be moved on in a fairly punctual way, don't they?
onto my team, and I've got Ramsdale home to Burnley. I think he's probably the best option this week. Actually, Trent. Cancelo is captain at the moment, as I mentioned earlier. I have got Rudiger. I've got either Dawson or Livermore as my other two. So I'll probably play Rudiger, actually. As Adam said, he's one of those players, Rudiger. Do you know, I had him in all my Game Week 1 teams, but I think you just leave him in. I think he's a fantastic season-long pick, Rudiger, personally. He will have his blips, which he's having at the moment, but he's always likely to pop up with a goal. And, he won two penalties a few game weeks ago, didn't he? Remember he had the two assists? He's always thereabouts. So I think he's a decent option. Obviously, I'm going to get rid after this week because they don't play for weeks, obviously, because they're off to the World Club Cup. But I'll probably play in this week. I've got a bit of a meh midfield in Jota, Bernardo, Bowen. I do have Trossard, and
do you know what? I'm looking at your team. Trossard, really like him as a pick.
I do this week.
Tempted to give him the armband. What a differential! He's just world class player. I would go for it. I would give Trossard the armband.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, look how bad they looked against Spurs. Look how many chances they conceded, and the sort of runs that Bergwijn was making at the end. That could be Trossard. Kane had 10 shots on goal against them. It's got imagine the legendary status of Trossard ball.
Do you know what? Eric has just said Fergie laughing at Mount, but starting Trossard. That says it all, really, don't it? I went for Trossard. He was unlucky, I thought, last Friday evening, his Palace. Obviously, I didn't expect him not to play against Chelsea, right? But you've got to hope that's because... But Leicester's defence are as bad as Man United's.
Exactly.
And part of the reason I went for him is because of this third fixture as well. So I'm definitely holding him. And I expect a goal, the same as Antonio. I think...
Go for it. I would give him the armband. Imagine if it comes in, which is very, very likely because he's a world-class player.
Nuki, Nucky says, Trossard, Trissel captain, locked. And Khan says, loving Adam's thoughts and other teams, so on point and unbiased, laughing face. Yeah, you know, I'm happy with him anyway. And I've got Ronaldo, Antonio and King, who I think, you know, have all got a really good chance to score. I'm a very optimistic person. I don't know if you guys know, right, but I'm looking at my team. I can see a Ramsdale clean sheet. Trent, I'm not so sure. I can see a Cancelo clean sheet. I can see a Trossard return. I can see a Bowen return. I can see, I'm not sure about Bernardo and Jota. I can see a Ronaldo at least one return. I can see Antonio return. I can see a King return as well. I've got Gray first on my bench actually against Villa. I'm tempted to maybe start him over Bernardo is maybe my only dilemma. But yeah, and Luke says, yes, triple captain Trossard, just do it. While Chris says...
It's a shout. It is a shout. Because if you nailed that triple captain on Trossard...
Chris says, Trossard equals Traore. Thanks, Fergie.
Yeah, look what Troy did last game.
Exactly.
What did Troy do last game? Exactly. I think you're onto something with Trossard. I would go with it, personally.
Well, he's good.
Listen to all the comments in the chat. I think, you know, Trossard is definitely the one to go for this week.
He's going to be my pick for...
What were we doing transferring in Mount and Trossard last week? Honestly, it was between us.
One of the best, was it?
Unbelievable.
Just in terms of my transfer, I was tempted until we had the discussion tonight, which is why obviously I really enjoyed doing the podcast. I was tempted to go for Coutinho. I was maybe Bernardo to Coutinho was in my thoughts. But judging what you said about minutes, if the double confirmed, I'll definitely do it, right? But if it's not, I am tempted by Rafinha, I think. Maybe Bernardo to Rafinha, maybe a move I do. But I got to be honest. And it's really tough because... but this is brilliant about the game now. It's so wide open at the moment. So many options. Wide variety, yeah. John L says, Andrew Trossard is no Norgaard. For those who play Sky, I took a punt on Norgaard last week, which obviously didn't. And Michael says, don't listen to him, Fergie. He's getting revenge for your savagery about Adam's team. Ellis Jones says, Mount Doom. And JD says, so he does the captaincy. Adam and Fergie currently tied on captain points. Trossard could be a differential. Thanks for
it. It will be because I will not be captaining Trossard this week.
Well, he will be differential.
Can't get to Trossard, so
he will be because he's not. I was going to swear then, but I'll just go with he's not. He's probably currently not one of the best picks in the game, is what I will. I'll say. Competition time for our YouTube watchers. Top scorer in game week 22. Bruno Fernandes with an absolute haul. Winner was actually in the chat this week. It was JA, who I haven't seen him in the chat this evening, but JA, if you are in the chat or if you're watching it back later, please drop me a DM and we will sort you out with a Fantasy Football Hub mug, which is behind Rich's shoulder. And so you can see there on his mantelpiece. And for this week's competition, and a chance to win one of our fantastic Fantasy Football Hub mugs, you need to like this video. If you haven't pressed like, why don't you press like? Why don't you press like? Please press the like button. Make sure you're subscribed and then comment on who will be the top point scorer in game week 23. Taking a bit of stick in the chat, surprisingly.
Don't hate it.
Richard, Trossard equals Drossard. Daniel B, day of the Trossards. Relic returns, Tross the Dross. Relic returns, top scorer, Trossard. He's definitely my pick for this week. Everyone, please make sure you like the stream. Please make sure that you are subscribed and then comment on who's going to be the top point scorer. Adam, come to you first this week. Who's going to be the top point scorer?
You just stole my thunder. You obviously know who I was going to go for. I was going to go for Trossard, but I'm going to let you... I'm going to let you have that pick in the glory there. Mm-hmm. I believe I'm the only Green Arrow podcaster to ever get one of these correct. So I'm going to gamble again on another double game week because I think that's what worked well for me last time. So I'll go for my boy Ollie Watkins.
Lee Watkins. Okay. Rich, who do you think will be the top point scorer in game week 23?
Okay. I'll go different to Adam then. I'll say that there's not going to be a double game week, and I'll go for Kevin De Bruyne.
Good
pick. I'm going to try and think out the box here. Who am I going for? Who have I got? Leeds versus New. Who play Norwich? I'm going to go for João Pedro of Watford, just to go absolutely off the wall. Why not? So that is it. So like I say, make sure that you join in. Let's have a look at the top of the at FFH underscore Green Arrow Mini League.
Fergie, what are we saying? A thousand likes and you're Captain Trossard.
Oh, I can't. I'm not one of those, mate.
You don't need many, do you? 500?
If this was vodka and not water, I may be tempted.
1,000 pounds, maybe.
No, I can't ruin my season for a few likes, I'm afraid. Not even I. Not even I have no morals.
Have the faith. Not even have the faith in Trossard.
Should I Captain Trossard? I just think, what is he, 3% owned? Well, he may be a little bit more now. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. His ownership's going to shoot up after this, so...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. in 10th place in the mini-league, we have Veal Anunen, 9th Ed Gilliband, 8th Deer Hunt, who's flown down at a bit of a bad game week. He was top. 7th Alexander Rosen, 6th Pontus Gunlick, 5th Tess Ocklin, 4th Anirudh Kunjal, 3rd, Torhei Hegner. 2nd, Will Baxter. And top is Steve Sedman. Scored 98 points. 1557 in terms of overall points and an overall rank of 12. Very, very well done. They're trying to egg me on in the chat. Relic Returns is saying 500 likes for a captain for Trossard. I'm just not one of those, but...
If we got 10,000 likes, you would triple
get 10,000 bloody likes, are we? And as Ellis Jones has just said, he got benched against Chelsea. That'll be the worst thing ever to come on for a one-pointer. I tell you, if he was guaranteed to start, I may think about it, but he's not, I don't know. Very well done to everyone there. And the winner gets a Fantasy Football Hub goodie bag prize and free premium membership for first place. So that is it from us for this week. We hope you've enjoyed. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining in. We've had a packed lobby this evening. We hope you've enjoyed, you know, all the Trossard tips. Rich, where can people find you?
I'm on at Rich Clark FPL on Twitter.
Well done. And don't forget that you can get, so those who don't know, Rich Clark is one of, if not the best ever FPL manager with 15 consecutive top 35k finishes, and he is well on course for a 16th consecutive top 35k finish, and Adam isn't too far behind him either. Adam, where can we find you?
Where can you find me? On Twitter, ahopcroft13.
Okay, and best of luck both you guys this weekend. If I do go, if we get word off Potter that Trossard definitely, yeah, you'll be resting him against Chelsea, he's going to start, I may do it, because we just mentioned, didn't we, about having that week of there's no standout captain.
Like I said, Leicester. Look how they conceded from kickoff yesterday. Look, I mean, if Bergwijn
it could have been Trossard.
It could be Trossard. That's what I think, anyway.
My Twitter handle is at FFH underscore Fergie. Make sure you drop us all a follow. So this podcast and video will be on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel, with the podcast versions available on all major podcast platforms. If you liked what you watched, please press the like button and remember to subscribe to the channel at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast and leave a comment. It means so, so much to us. Our handles on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok are at FFH underscore HQ, and our podcast Twitter handle is at FFH underscore Green Arrow. Make sure you drop us a follow. Our website is fantasyfootballhub.co.uk, where you will find everything you need for fantasy football all under one roof, including player comparison tools, the fixture ticker, Optostats, top player team reveals, including Rich's, some of the best ever managers, Rich, reveals in detail his planned moves prior to the deadline every single week. Go on fantasyfootballhub.co.uk got.co.uk to find that and so much more. To join the tens of thousands of other fantasy managers, sign up to the Herb, choose all our amazing resources, click the top link in the description below for a 7-day free trial. You will not regret it. Thank you so much for all the wonderful comments in the chat. It is so, so appreciated. It really is. We are going to have a week off next week, I think, but we will be back next week. Sorry, we were back the week after. Yeah. Contradiction in terms, wasn't it? We'll be back in a couple of weeks, looking ahead to Game Week 24, what could be potential double Game Week 24 if there's a game slotted in earlier. We wish everyone the very, very best of luck for Game Week 23, potential double Game Week 23. Stay safe and may all your arrows be green. Good night, all.